The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome to your Monday morning briefing. Here's what you need to know to start your day with your host, former Saturday Night Live superstar Joe Piscopo, produced by Frank Morano, with news guy Al Gattullo, and traffic with Debbie Duhaime. This is the Joe Piscopo Show on AM 970, The Answer.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown. When you've got worries, all the noise and the hurry seems to help, I know. Downtown.
5 minutes after 7 o'clock, you can hear the fact that Joe Piscopo is off, not only by the fact that you're hearing Frank Morano's voice, but Al Gattullo is digging deep into his library of banned music.
That's right.
To play this radio program. A song banned by Joe Piscopo.
Right.
When Joe is away, Al will play.
At least once.
Clearly, at least once.
Yes.
All right.
I like that song.
I do too.
It's an upbeat song, and it has everything to do with the fact that we work downtown.
Yeah, that's true. I have no problem with it at all. All right, 877-970-2999. A ton of stuff happening. Every week, it seems like there are more presidential candidates entering the field
yes.
for 2020. Yesterday, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar announced that she's officially entering the race for president at her rally yesterday where it was snowing.
It was snowing.
This is what she said.
I stand before you as the first woman elected to the United States Senate from the state of Minnesota to announce my candidacy for president of the United States.
So that was yesterday. On Saturday, Elizabeth Warren went from exploration to official candidate. She declared her candidacy.
That is why I stand here today to declare that I am a candidate for president of the United States of America.
So that was what she said. She is focusing. She says that the faults in democracy are not all President Trump's fault.
He is just a product of a rigged system that props up the rich and powerful and kicks dirt on everyone else.
Now, she didn't stop there. She says that the middle class is being squeezed.
America's middle class has been deliberately hollowed out, and families of color have been systematically discriminated against and denied their chance to build some security.
So now with Kamala Harris in the race, with Kirsten Gillibrand in the race, with Tulsi Gabbard in the race, with Elizabeth Warren in the race, and now Amy Klobuchar in the race, there are five women running for the Democratic nomination for president. That is, I believe, I stand to be corrected, more women than have ever run for president in a major party in history. Now, we'll see if one of them's able to be nominated, either president or vice president. But it's certainly interesting that that there are so many female candidates this year. Certainly, as the president made clear during his State of the Union address, there are more females serving in Congress than at any time in the nation's history. So I don't know what effect that ultimately is going to have on the electorate, and what effect it's going to have on the debate. You know, having five women on the debate stage, is that going to lead these debates to be a little less testosterone filled than they otherwise may be? Tell me what you think. 877-970-2999.
Without knowing and really delving into all the candidates, specifically the women candidates, I think the one that will probably win out over them, over all of them, is probably going to be Amy Klobuchar, because she's more to the middle, I think, than any of the other candidates. I think Elizabeth Warren is too far to one side, and she's a little bit radical, and the whole thing of, you know, checking the American Indian box and that whole disingenuous video that she did to announce her exploratory committee with her husband clearly didn't want to be in the video, was completely uncomfortable. Her trying to open a beer, it just looked completely false to me. I don't know enough about Tulsi Gabbard to have an opinion one way or another. I think Kirsten Gillibrand is a nobody. I mean, she was one person when she started her political career, and now she's a completely different person, and I think she's disingenuous. I think a lot of people will be like, Kirsten, who? You know, no clue. And who's the other woman?
Kamala Harris.
Oh, Kamala Harris. She's got a little bit of baggage to her with the whole thing of using what's-his-name for her political career.
Well, everybody's got baggage. Right.
To some extent.
Now, does
Amy Klobuchar have baggage?
Yes, she does, and that's an excellent question. So, the problem that Amy Klobuchar has, and I don't know a lot about where Amy Klobuchar falls on the issues, and I suspect she's probably more running for vice president than actually running for president. But so I don't know really where she is.
And financially, she's going to be doing this mostly grassroots. She doesn't have a ton of money.
I think what all these candidates are hoping for is that they're able to score a big zinger in one of the early debates that helps them go from being totally obscure to household name overnight, and then use their newfound notoriety to fundraise.
Sort of like Cruz when Ted Cruz beat Trump that first thing and propelled
Cruz was already pretty well known, but more like kind of Ron Paul when he ran in 2008.
Right.
He wasn't really well known until, you know, he made his comments about September 11th during a debate,
right,
and then he kind of, blew up in terms of fundraising. Now, the problem that Amy Klobuchar has is that she has had a history of former aides not being treated well.
Right.
Right. So
right. I saw that.
So she announced her candidacy yesterday. In the run up to her candidacy, all of these aides speaking anonymously, former aides speaking anonymously to reporters for what they claim is fear of retribution, they describe this toxic office environment. I love descriptions like that. A toxic office environment.
Well, what's toxic?
Yeah, that's right. Like, to me, what toxic is people choking on ammonia that's in the air. Okay, that's toxic. Right. Getting a mean email, that's not toxic.
Or getting yelled at. Getting yelled at is not toxic.
So they describe a toxic office environment, including demeaning emails, thrown office supplies, and requests for staff to perform personal chores for the senator. A sharp departure from the public brand that Senator Klobuchar has built. I want to point out, by the way, that Congress drove out Jim Trafficant, a member of Congress, reelected repeatedly for exactly that, for having his staffers do personal chores. They actually expelled him from Congress, which was pretty rare. So who knows? I suspect the truth lies somewhere in between. That's the interesting thing about this field is last few days, everyone's been asking me the same question. Do you think Hillary's going to run again in 2020? And I think there's no doubt that she wants to run again, but I don't think she ultimately will. In part because you're going to have 20 candidates all with big opposition research teams. And anything that anybody's ever done, that is going to come out in the wash this year. Gillibrand, who you mentioned, it's so interesting to me that Gillibrand, not only did she used to be very conservative, and she was not
very
moderate, she was very conservative. But
NRA member. But, you know, voted
totally,
100% all
totally,
the time.
Totally.
But
not only, I mean, people go through political changes all the time. But she started her career largely as a lobbyist for the tobacco companies. Now, if you compare, tobacco is a substance that actually kills people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did that before she was in office. But if you compare the outrage and the fervor at Al Franken's, taking some photos that appear to be unsavory towards women, or maybe even sexually assaulting a woman while she was asleep, groping a woman, I think, is a better description than sexual assault, before he was in office. And you, Ralph Northam, the photo of him, or that may or may not be him, in his yearbook before he was in office, people are more outraged about that than Kirsten Gillibrand actually getting paid a whole lot of money to peddle a product that kills people. I'm surprised that more of these progressives haven't made an issue of her time as a tobacco lobbyist. Of all the female candidates that we just alluded to, and there's different things that I like and don't like about all of them, the only one that I really find myself agreeing with on the issues is Tulsi Gabbard. And Tulsi Gabbard, they're already going after her like crazy because they're claiming that she's a Russian agent. Because whenever
who's
you have
saying this?
NBC News is claiming,
really,
that. Yeah, they're saying that that Vladimir Putin and the Russian oligarchs have a crush on Tulsi Gabbard. Which, by the way, if she was a mainstream Democratic politician, as right. she used to be, if you use that kind of sexist language to describe Kirsten Gillibrand or Hillary Clinton, you'd right. be laughed out of town. But because
she's from Hawaii,
right?
Tulsi
because
Gabbard,
Tulsi Gabbard has unorthodox views that are different from the Democratic foreign policy establishment on issues like Russia and Syria, it's fine to say that Vladimir Putin has a crush on her. Now, I have, you know, I would have a I'm voting for Trump. I'm planning to vote for Trump, assuming he's on the ballot. But the reason I would have a difficult time supporting Tulsi Gabbard in the general election is, you know, for I have heard from many sources that I consider to be reliable that she used to have a romantic relationship with disgraced former Congressman Michael Grimm. And I think that really does speak volumes about someone's judgment, that you can fool around with somebody like Michael Grimm, who's totally devoid of any sort of moral compass, in my judgment. Mm. A lot of people may disagree, and you're welcome to. But maybe that's unfair. I don't know. 877-970-2999. Selena Zito joining us momentarily. Diane Savino joining us shortly. We'll take your calls. Anything we've talked about, 877-970-2999. Let me say hello to one of our least favorite callers, E. Frank in Astoria. Hello, E. Frank.
Yes, good morning, Frank. And also hello to Al Cotullo. Yeah, I just wanted to say, last week I was listening very closely to what Donald Trump was saying in his State of the Union address. And maybe, Frank, you might not agree. Maybe this might sound like something that does not make sense or a counterpoint in regards to pro-life issues. But what he says, that every child is a gift in God's precious eyes. Like, he's saying something in regards to every child, and in every child doesn't mean his personal viewpoints on faith, religion, understanding of pro-life, or his feelings about different children from different countries. So when he said that, I was a little bit confused because I did not understand the whole message. I thought that maybe it's just a message regarding...
No, well, thanks, E. Frank. I appreciate your perspective. I think his message was clear. You can agree with it or disagree with it, but his message was clear that he's against late-term abortion. And, you know, that's where you can use the contextual clues of the speech to find out what he meant. If you don't know what he meant, in the very next sentence, he said, "That's why I'm calling on Congress to pass a ban on late-term abortion." So I was not at all confused. 877-970-2999. Selma and Ridgewood, we only have about a minute here, but it's all yours. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I listen not for nothing. The politicians that are squawking about the Amazon thing knew up front and personal ahead of time before Mr. Cuomo moved to get him in without their, you know, approval and consent. So but that's irrelevant. The fact is that he's given away so much, and these politicians are now squawking. We need to stop Mr. Cuomo, who's given away the resources of the city and the state. And with regard to the guys that didn't move, shame on them, but they're right. At this point, they have to try to stop Mr. Cuomo from moving on Amazon.
Thank you, Selma.
And the money that he's promising, I believe even you and your show suggested that the monies that they're paying out to the people ultimately does not supersede the monies that we're giving him. So we're actually paying us.
Thank you, Selma. Thank you very much. Yeah, the bottom line is this, right? What New York should be doing, New York City and New York State, is creating an environment where private sector business can flourish. You do that with lower taxes. You do that with a lower cost of doing business. You do that with lower rents. You create a competitive business environment. Unfortunately, what New York has done, especially New York State, but even now New York City is getting into the act, is the worst of both worlds, right? We've created an environment where it's so difficult to stay in business And yet the only way we can attract big business here is by giving away the store to get them here. So we're losing out on all the tax revenue from middle class, you know, mid-range businesses. I don't like to use the term mom and pop businesses because it sounds so hokey. And we're driving them out of the state, driving them out of business, and at the same time using a diminishing pot of taxpayer money to lure companies like Amazon. Doesn't sit well with me. We'll revisit it more in the 8 o'clock hour. Debbie Duhaime.
Frank Morano.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am doing just fine. I am doing just fine. So how are the roads looking?
Well, we still have this major problem for you, Frank, and it's on the Cross Bronx Expressway. The Cross Bronx westbound is completely closed up by Webster Avenue. It was a 6-car accident, happened overnight, one fatality involved with many injuries. So again, Cross Bronx West is still closed up by Webster Avenue with this ongoing investigation. The eastbound side is open but moving very slowly. Inbound GWB, about 90 minutes to the upper, 45 to the lower. Watch for delays at the inbound Lincoln of 40, Holland 35. Traffic is moving solely Deegan southbound right into the Grand Concourse. A collision there to deal with as well. And the Cross Island northbound getting up toward Hempstead Turnpike, a crash. It's still busy on the Whitestone Expressway south at 20th Ave with a collision sponsored by MedExpress Urgent Care. Beat symptoms to the punch this winter with convenient walk-in care from MedExpress. With everything from strep tests to flu shots, treatment for fevers, viruses, and more. MedExpress is here to help you stay ahead of sick. Clouds today, high of 39. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhaime on the Joe Piscopo Show, AM 970, The Answer.
Sponsored by Farmers Insurance. From a car landing on a roof to a car landing in a pool, we've covered it. At Farmers Insurance, the more you know, the better you can plan for what's ahead. Get smarter about your insurance at farmers.com.
Mike Gallagher doesn't understand where the Democrats are coming from.
This group of angry, scowling Democrats who wouldn't even clap when the president recited the historic low unemployment for Black and Hispanic Americans. They didn't clap for that. Why not? How could you not clap for that?
The Mike Gallagher Show. Weekdays at 10, right before Dennis Prager at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
From the Fox Business Network, there's a new problem at Tesla. The Wall Street Journal says owners of the electric cars are sometimes waiting months to get them repaired. Chief Executive Elon Musk has acknowledged problems getting parts to repair shops. One owner says he's still waiting for his car to be fixed after a collision in September. Tesla says it is working on the issues and wants to expand repairs outside of its own service centers. More than a dozen local TV stations could be sold. Reuters says Apollo Global Management is close to buying 14 regional stations from Cox Enterprises. Global stocks are mostly higher this morning as investors anticipate trade talks between the U.S. and China. Stocks closed mixed on Friday. The Dow was down 63. The Nasdaq added 9. And the S&P was up a point. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Ginny Cosola.
When weather hits, the right wiper blades make all the difference. That's when the Michelin Man is on your side, helping you see better and drive safer with new Michelin Premium Wiper Blades. Designed with exclusive SmartFlex technology, a frameless beam design, Michelin blades flex to the curve of your windshield, giving you unparalleled, streak-free, long-lasting, all-season performance. So when the going gets tough, be ready with Michelin Premium Wiper Blades. It's a difference you can see. Available at Walmart and other fine retailers.
Joe Piscopo here, coming to you from the SmartWayToBuy.com studios. If you look around these days, everything is getting smarter. Smartphones, smart TVs, even smart refrigerators. Well, now, after 100 years of the same old dumb way of buying cars, there's the smart way to buy a car. Just go to thesmartwaytobuy.com and see how easy they've made it. With really smart things like the Smart Way to Buy's 110% low price guarantee that ensures you are getting the best price for your next used vehicle. Need a car for commuting to work? Do you have a teenager looking for the first car? Well, then you should definitely visit the Smart Way to Buy.com. It's your go-to place for the widest selection of used cars in New Jersey. Plus, every vehicle comes with a 5-day, 500-mile exchange policy, so you can't lose. Now, that's smart. The Smart Way to Buy. Only at the Smart Way to Buy. That's the Smart Way to Buy. smart.com. Anything else just wouldn't be smart.
Insurance can be scary. When it comes to protecting your family, home, or business, you need a name you can trust. You need Honig County Insurance. In Manhattan for over 100 years, Honig County is family-owned, experienced, and credible. They believe in a face-to-face roll-up-your-sleeves approach, providing each client with individual personal care. Honig County, the name to trust. So start your new year right with Honig County Insurance. Call 212-777-7113 or honigconti.com. HONIGCONTE.com. Honig County Insurance. Not just providing insurance, but insurance guidance.
Hi, it's Bagels and Broadway with me, Valerie Smaldone, Saturday mornings at 9. I'll be talking theater, food, nightlife, day life, restaurants, and new food products. Theater, food, wine, what else do you need? AM 970.
Syracuse is back on the road Wednesday, entering a rowdy environment in Raleigh. The Orange and NC State play at 8 Wednesday, Orange pregame at 7:30 on AM 970, The Answer, New York's radio home for Syracuse University basketball.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Nissan.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo in the morning. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks to Frankie Five Boroughs and Al and Debbie for holding down the fort. Ah, you know what I miss most of all? Irritating Big Al. It's what I live for.
7:25.
Just when I've begun to get myself together.
Thank you, Joe. We're doing our best to irritate Al by playing a little Dolly Parton, who is still being celebrated after last night's Grammy Awards. This is the Joe Piscopo Show. I'm Frank Morano. And I will tell you, you know, talking about all these political stories around the world, whether it's Brexit in Great Britain, the rise of Donald Trump in 2016, Bernie Sanders coming out of nowhere in 2016 to give Hillary Clinton a run for her money, Syriza in Greece, the five-star movement in Italy, the yellow vests in France. In many ways, it's all the same global phenomenon. And it's always been amazing to me two things. One is how much a Trump supporter can hear the things that Bernie Sanders says, especially on things like, the elections being rigged and prescription drug prices and trade and not intervening in Middle Eastern civil wars, and like them. And the Sanders supporter can hear some of the same things that Donald Trump might say about some of those same issues and like them. And the other aspect that is so curious to me is that so few reporters seem to get it, and so few reporters actually have written about this incredible phenomenon. There's one who has. Selena Zito has written a book called The Great Revolt, Inside the Populist Coalition Reshaping American Politics. You've read her for years in the Washington in the Washington Examiner and the New York Post. Probably have seen her on CNN. She is one of the few reporters that has actually really looked into this populist, multi-partisan revolution that's sweeping American politics. And I'm very, very pleased that she's joined us this morning. Hello, Selena. Thanks. Thanks so much for coming on the radio with us.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
So how are you doing the day after Dolly Parton's big night?
Dolly Parton is the queen. and Jolene is my favorite song ever. So that was the only reason I peeked into the Grammys, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Well, yeah.
I don't know how big that is, how big she is where you're from, but she's also just an amazing person. The amount of books that she's donated to schools and kids who cannot read, she really is just this very generous, magnanimous person. So I like Dolly.
Yeah, well, hey.
Sorry, Al.
Fair enough. Now, speaking of books, your book examines, I think, the most fascinating trend in politics today, the populist coalition reshaping American politics. And, you know, one day in the future, I'd love to have you on for a whole hour just to talk about your book.
Sure.
Because it's really terrific. But in a nutshell, tell us how this populist coalition is reshaping American politics, because so often the term populism gets demonized by both Democratic pundits and Republican pundits. How is this populist coalition reshaping both parties?
Well, it's a great question. And it's one that, despite writing the book, very few people are interested in understanding. They the establishment types in both parties wish it would go away. So they sort of like step it aside, and they give populism a bad name. Populism throughout history has meant different things. In this sort of version of it, it is a rejection of all things big. So what does that mean? That means that I shouldn't even say rejection. It's more of a healthy distrust of all things big. So the larger institutions and the experts who we have listened to for generations in this country have let us down so many times that we have finally put our hands up and said, you know what, that's enough. We are tired of you telling us what's best for us. We are tired of you telling us what to do, because 90% of the time you get it wrong anyway. I mean, I can remember as a kid in the 1970s that the experts were telling us that the world was going through global cooling. And all of a sudden now it's global warming.
Right.
You know, so we have lost our trust in them. Part of why we have lost our trust in them is that the people that man them, whether it is a large corporation or a large political entity like the DNC or the RNC, or even if it's a large sporting company like, the NFL, the decision makers are always people from the same zip code, and they all went to the same Ivy League schools. And they make decisions because they don't have anybody like you or me inside their boardrooms. There's no diversity, not just in race, but also no one that went to a state school or might own a gun or might go to sit in church every Sunday. So when they make these large decisions, they're making them based on their lives and not the rest of the people whose lives they impact. And so that's what the populism is. But it's not just in the Republican Party. The conservative populist coalition is what was behind Donald Trump's election. A lot of people blame Trump for this. They shouldn't. He is just the result of it. He didn't cause it. I've been reporting about this populism growing since 2006 midterms, when the Democrats upended the Republicans. And I noticed that the candidates that they picked didn't look very much like Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty moderate. And it told me that people were not going towards Democrats. They were going away from Republicans. And we kept repeating that swing over and over again, back and forth. People keep telling Washington a message with their votes, and Washington keeps misreading what we're telling them. I mean, we didn't tell Democrats that we want a new Green Deal when we put them in power in 2018, but yet that's what they thought. They thought, oh, wow, they love us again. No, they're just mad at the Republicans.
Well, and you know, it's so interesting that you mentioned the new Green Deal. If people just tuning in, we're talking with Selena Zito. She's a columnist for the New York Post, also a reporter for the Washington Examiner. You got to check out her book if you're interested in some of the trends that are happening in politics today. It's called The Great Revolt: Inside the Populist Coalition, Reshaping American Politicians. The kind of the progenitor of the Green New Deal in this Congress is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Now, I have noticed so many similarities behind the behavior and the appeal of both Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Donald Trump. Now, when I mention that, Trump supporters go crazy, and so do Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez supporters. You wrote a brilliant, brilliant column talking about how they use the same tricks to win at politics. In a nutshell, can you give us a few instances where there are some parallels between AOC and Donald Trump?
Well, AOC and Donald Trump are brilliant in the way they bypass my profession, reporters, journalists, and go and speak directly to the people whose voices or things that they feel are important. And speaks to them. And they both use Twitter, and they use it incredibly effectively. They've also sort of beat back. Look, they're two brash outer borough New Yorkers who beat back of the establishment in both parties and won surprising primaries to go on to win in general elections. And they both see themselves as consensus builders. And you know, they are changing American politics. Donald Trump has forever changed American politics. AOC is just following what he did, and she's doing it masterfully. You may not like what she says, but the way she does it is brilliant. And it's just, it's a fascinating time to be a reporter in this age.
Well, that's for sure. So tell me, based on what you're seeing so far in the 2020 presidential race, in both the Democratic primary and the general election, how do you see this American trend toward populism playing out vis-a-vis the presidential contest?
Well, here's the problem. If the Democratic Party wants to win in 2020, they have to be much more centrist. And I think half of them embrace the New Green Deal, which is, if anybody read it, while it sounds like, oh, this sounds great, you know, by its name, and then you read it, and you're like, well, this would make our economy collapse in like 5 minutes. And so here's the challenge that Democrats face. Most of the rollouts by Kamala Harris or Cory Booker or Amy Klobuchar or Kirsten Gillibrand, I mean, they've been, or Elizabeth Warren, I'm running out of room here, there's so many that are running, have been pretty basic establishment rollouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen any massive excitement in the way that AOC, not that she should run or can run, she's not old enough, but I think that the Democratic Party is looking for a little bit of a hellraiser, and they haven't gotten that yet. I would say the closest has been Cory Booker. He gave a very aspirational message in his rollout. I thought his ad, as well as his stump speech, was probably the closest to garnering the support of populists. You know, all of them have come out and said, "Oh, yay, Green Deal," but they haven't said it with the sort of the passion that AOC has embraced, and I'm looking for that to see what happens.
Yeah, Selena, I have to run, but just in less than a minute, if you can, in an era where both parties seem to be trending towards populism, it's difficult to see where there's much of a political market for Howard Schultz and Mike Bloomberg's message of government buy in for elitists.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, it's really interesting. Most people identify themselves as centrist when you're sitting alone talking to them. They look at politics as a sort of a smorgasbord. They like a couple things on the far left or the far right, but most of the time they're willing to compromise and have a centralized point of view about government. I think that I think there is room for Howard Schultz to run, but I don't know if social media would let him get past that run, because we're so vicious on social media.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. Selena, you're going to have to come back soon. I always so enjoy your reporting and love talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You too. Enjoy the Dolly Parton, post-day glow. All right. We're going to continue with State Senator Diane Savino next. We're going to talk marijuana. We'll talk congestion pricing. And we will take your calls a bit later. But first, here's Agatulo with the news.
News. Opinion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
31 degrees at 7:38. I'm Al Gattulo with local news first. Here's what's going on. One person is dead. Two others hurt in a six-vehicle crash on the Cross Bronx Expressway. A chain reaction pileup on the westbound side near Webster Avenue at about 1 this morning. Police say one person pronounced dead at the scene. Another rushed to a hospital in extremely critical condition, while a third person is stable. Westbound lanes are shut down while police investigate, causing major delays over the George Washington Bridge into New Jersey. We'll have more from Debbie Duhame after this update. For the first time in nearly 6 years, all four lanes of traffic on the Bayonne Bridge scheduled to open to motorists today, costing over $1 billion. The Raise the Roadway project first started in 2013, and while there will be some related construction to come, All lanes opened after 5 this morning. The project undertaken to improve security and, to upgrade navigational clearance for marine traffic using the Kilvan Cullen to improve security and traffic management. The planned pedestrian walkway is not slated to open until the spring. In sports, all the local hockey teams won. Sports is brought to you by Modell Sporting Goods Stores. You got to go to Moe's. Stuck in traffic? Debbie Duhame's got the answer.
And good morning, Al. Thanks. You mentioned the Cross Bronx. It's still closed here. Westbound Cross Bronx into Webster Avenue. Ongoing accident investigation. Now, the eastbound side was closed. It's reopened, but still busy eastbound Cross Bronx out through Jerome with a rubbernecking. The inbound side of the GWB still holding on to about a 90-minute delay to the upper. Looks like about 35 to the lower. We're seeing delays here as you head to the inbound side of the Holland Tunnel. The inbound side of the Holland is 40. The Lincoln Tunnel, almost an hour because of some earlier problems over at the Lincoln. A lot of volume as well on the Bruckner and on the Deegan because of the problems on the Cross Bronx. And watch for some stop-and-go traffic here as you head over to 4 eastbound. That's going to be pretty solid getting out toward Teaneck. Watch for slowdowns as well as you take a ride over to the Harlem River Drive South, busy down through the 140s, and the Cross Island North at Hempstead Turnpike. A collision still being cleared. Clouds today, high of 39. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame, AM 970, The Answer.
Join me, John Friedman, for Talking Sports every Saturday evening, 8 to 10, right here on AM 970, The Answer, WNYM. We'll see you then.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the only $5 meal worthy of your appetite? Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal. Our classic Junior Bacon Cheeseburger is now bigger. With double the fresh never frozen beef and double the Applewood smoked bacon, there's nothing junior about it except the price. Wendy's Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal comes with nuggets, fries, and a drink for just $5. Get the $5 Giant Junior Bacon Cheeseburger Meal at Wendy's. Giant meal, junior price.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada.
Mike Connors, host of Ask the Lawyer and published in New York Magazine's top-rated lawyers. Whether assisting a client with drafting a will or trust, power of attorney, health care proxy, nursing home plan, or other matter, Connors and Sullivan's goal is always the protection of their clients' rights and interests. Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, has dedicated attorneys that can help you with estate planning, elder law, and probate. They listen to their clients to learn about their families, their financial picture, and their long-term goals to create a comprehensive plan to meet your objectives. They assist with the complex tax matters that are often involved in estate planning and probate. Contact Connors and Sullivan Attorneys at Law, PLLC, with offices in Brooklyn, Queens, Midtown Manhattan, and Staten Island to schedule a free consultation with an attorney. Attorney, 718-238-6500. That's 718-238-6500. And listen to Ask the Lawyer right here every Saturday evening at 6.
Tired of dealing with dummies? Experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota. No hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low, low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. He's taking the same smart approach that's been so successful in selling cars into the service bay. So he said, Joe, I'm going to let you give the first 5 callers in the next 5 minutes a free multi-point inspection and oil change and filter if they call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. 855-621-9949 in the next 5 minutes. Get a free oil change and filter on me. 855-621-9949 and say, this one's on Joe. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West in Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. Tell them Joe sent you for the free oil change. All European makes excluded.
Dennis Prager, coming up at 1 on AM 970. The Answer.
Live from the SmartWayToBuy.com studios.
7:43, happy Monday. This is Frank Morano sitting in for Joe Piscopo, who's going to be back tomorrow. Well, whether you're interested in transportation, marijuana, criminal justice issues, or Amazon, all eyes in this state are looking towards Albany. And whenever we have a conversation involving what's happening in Albany, one of my favorite people to talk to is a woman who was the godmother of medical marijuana legislation in this state, and someone that did something pretty pretty unique in an era of polarized politics in both the state capital and our nation's capital. She said, you know what? Maybe it wouldn't be the worst idea if some Democrats worked with some Republicans. Now that one party controls every aspect of state government in Albany, let's find out how things are going by checking in with State Senator Diane Savino of the 23rd District, representing Staten Island and Brooklyn. Senator, thanks so much for coming on the radio with me. How are you?
I'm pretty well, Frank. How are you?
I am doing great. So let me first ask you about what's happening with the prospect of recreational marijuana legalization in New York. The governor's for it. He alluded to it in his State of the State address. I know from my dad's own experience with medical marijuana that not everybody in the medical marijuana community is necessarily down with recreational marijuana. Where do you stand in terms of legalized recreational marijuana, and how is it looking at this point?
You know, the old magic eight ball. I would say right now the situation is a little unclear. You know, I started the effort to bring medical marijuana to New York State, and I was successful 4 years ago. But I always took the position that recreational was not my issue, that I wanted to develop a comprehensive medical marijuana program. But along the way, you realize that if adult use comes along, you have to protect the medical program from being gobbled up by the adult use program. So I have to play a role in this. The governor has put forward, in my opinion, a very comprehensive, well-thought-out proposal. The problem is there's a lot of politics at play here. There are those who look at this as simply a way to address criminal justice wrongs from the past. There are others who are trying to figure out how do we increase what they call diversity in the industry and eliminate barriers to small operators. They're afraid of, like, big marijuana, as they call it. I'm not even sure what that means.
Right, right. That's a Bill de Blasio.
There's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
There's a lot of moving parts in this process. And that makes it very difficult to get it done in the budget. I do think that we could, if serious-minded people were to get together, examine the governor's proposal. And I would be willing to bet, Frank, that with the exception of two or three people in the legislature, I may be the only person who has read this bill from line by line.
Oh, I would.
When I say it's a comprehensive approach, it really is.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. We're talking with State Senator Diane Savino. As I mentioned, she was a pioneer in medical marijuana. I was very eager to check in with her now that it looks like the state is moving towards recreational marijuana. And Senator, is your window open, by the way? Can we get you to close your window?
No.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
I'm outside.
So oh, okay.
Stand still.
All's well. And hopefully the weather up there.
Let me just stand still. It's cold.
I can imagine.
Really,
you got to move to stay warm, especially up north.
Yeah.
Senator, let me ask you, if I can, about congestion pricing. The governor last week said that either we're going to have congestion pricing or we're going to have tolls and fares go up 30%. The mayor, he said, no. We don't need congestion pricing to fund mass transit improvements. We need a millionaire's tax. Are both of these guys kind of being a little bit dramatic? Where do things stand now when it comes to congestion pricing, and where do you stand on it?
All right. So first of all, in answer to your question about drama, yes, they're both being overly dramatic. If you followed the MTA's budget hearing last week, the heads of the MTA, Pat Foy and Ronnie Hakem, they were pretty clear. You need congestion pricing for the capital plan, which is what pays for the improvements in the system, and you need a fair hike for the operating budget, which is what keeps the system running. So either way, they want both. There's no way that, you know, I've heard the governor say it's A or B, there is no C. The truth is they want A and B. So the question for us is, if we're going to adopt a congestion fee, however you want to call it, it should be fair to everyone, which means everybody's in and everybody gets something. The way it's currently proposed under the governor's budget doesn't accomplish that. I, in the past, have supported a program that's called Move New York, that put a toll on every bridge, but a reasonable toll, spread the pain across everyone in a manageable way. And all 13 regions of the MTA got something out of it. Because remember, it's not just New York City that's part of the MTA region. It's the suburban districts too, Long Island Railroad, Metro North, Westchester, Orange, and Rockland. So if we're all going to pay, it should be fair, reasonable, and we should all get something out of it. Right now, we're not at that spot.
Senator, I alluded to the fact that you were one of the members of the Independent Democratic Conference. Now, I know the IDC remerged with the mainline Democrats. A lot of your colleagues were successfully taken out in primaries. You know, Senator Klein, Senator Peralta, and others. You survived. They tried to primary you, but you still won re-election. Now that the Democrats control the state Senate, the state assembly, and both by a healthy margin, and the governor's office, how has the legislative session been so far? Are you pleased with how things are going? Not so pleased? What can you tell us about the tone of how government is up there?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of celebration about being able to move pieces of legislation that have been, you know, what they call bottled up for years. And to some extent, that's true. You know, we were able to move voting reforms fairly quickly. And in many respects, with Republican votes, we passed the Child Victims Act unanimously, which begged the question, why were they holding it up for so long? The Reproductive Health Act passed. But even with that issue, what was clear was the narrative that was adopted by people who are opposed to my conference, that the IDC was standing in the way, was just not true. We never had the votes. As you saw, two Democrats voted against it. So even if we had been with the Democrats all along, it never would have passed. But, you know, we got some of those things done. They have not been without controversy, as you've seen. You know, the governor and the cardinal seem to be at war with one another, and I don't think that's good for any of us. And, you know, we'll see where the rest of the session takes us. It gets more complicated as you pull the low-hanging fruit off the trees. And then we see, you know, we have a new membership, many of them whom won by 1% of the vote in regions that had never elected a Democrat before. And the most important thing for the conference now is to listen to the needs of the members in those parts of the state and not overreach. Otherwise, we will do exactly what happened in 2010. I have seen this movie. I know how it can end. And I don't think that that's a good place for us. So hopefully, you know, now that all the exuberance seems to be behind us, we can get down to the work of really solving the problems of New Yorkers. You know, we are a very high tax state. The governor was right the other day. I myself got my taxes done Saturday. Suffice to say, I'm not pleased. And, you know, it's going to be difficult for us now. We're going to have to find ways to provide services with less revenue.
Senator, I do have to run here, but can you tell me in 30 seconds, I know you served for over a decade in the state Senate with Ruben Diaz Sr. He's under fire now for saying that the city council is controlled by the homosexual community. A lot of politicians are calling for him to be stripped of his committee assignments. Do you have any, as someone that served in the same conference with Senator Diaz for many years, do you have any thoughts on his comments and on what should be done about them?
Okay. I long ago gave up commenting on Ruben Diaz's comments. He's going to do what he wants to do. He doesn't care. He answers to, he'll tell you, he answers to his God, you know, his self and his community. And when his community, his district stands up and says that they want him to act differently, he will. Until then, he's going to continue to be the outspoken, you know, controversial figure that he loves to be. And quite honestly, he loves this attention. That's what he wants. He enjoys every minute of it.
That's for sure. Senator Diane Savino, thank you very much for the time this morning. Good luck up there in Albany. Stay warm.
Thanks. Bye-bye, Frank.
All right. For those of you making your way up to Albany on the New York State Thruway or around New York City, Debbie Duhame has got the traffic for you. Debbie, how are we looking so far?
Well, Frank, on the northbound side of the thruway, moving fine, getting up toward Kingston and right up toward Albany, no problems there. Southbound thruway, you're building, heading right down toward the Tappan Zee Bridge. Expect delays on the Palisades Parkway, Frank. Southbound into exit 14 in Stony Point with an accident. And traffic is moving solely on the New England thruway, southbound into the New Rochelle tolls. It's an accident blocking two lanes over there. Problems continue cross Bronx West right into Webster Ave. All lanes remain closed. It's an ongoing investigation of an accident that happened overnight. Deegan South at the Grand Concourse, a collision there. It's pretty tough at the inbound GWB because of the problems on the Cross Bronx. It's an hour into the upper. Still about 25 to 30 to the lower. Lincoln 45, Holland still 40 minutes heading into town. And we're still seeing slowdowns on 78 eastbound, getting out toward exit 50 into Union with a collision over there. And watch for some pockets of volume as you head over to the eastbound Gowanus, slowing down up by the Prospect and the Cross Island North at Hempstead Turnpike, a collision there. You now know where not to go. I'm Debbie Duhame. AM 970, The Answer.
If you're planning a wedding or engagement party, a corporate event, birthday or anniversary party, bar or bat mitzvah, why not consider having it on a luxury private yacht? Your guests will be wowed. Let Francesca find you the yacht that's best for your event. She has beautiful vessels in her fleet that can accommodate from 2 to over 1,000, and guests can board at convenient locations throughout the metro area. Fran's yachts are fully insured and Coast Guard certified. Celebrate Valentine's Day this Thursday with Fran and Captain Fred. For just $180 per person, you'll enjoy a gourmet 4-course sit-down dinner and luscious dessert, 2 drinks from the state-of-the-art bar, complimentary champagne toast, and a welcome aboard signature Valentine's drink. Cash bar for any additional drinks and unlimited soft drinks. Crews will board from Pier 81 at West 41st Street on the West Side Highway at 6:30 p.m. and sails from 7 to 11 p.m. DJ and dancing and spectacular views of the Manhattan skyline and Statue of Liberty. This Valentine's Day, add that extra touch of class. For reservations and information, call 212-633-1231. 212-633-1231.
Balance of Nature's fruit and veggie capsules contain 100% fine ripened fruits and vegetables, tested pure with no pesticides, fillers, or additives of any kind, and are the most effective whole food supplements on the market today. You might ask, how can over 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables fit into 6 vegetarian capsules? Fruits and vegetables are on an average 85% water. Balance of Nature uses cold vacuum technology to remove the water, leaving only the whole food. We don't use any heat, air, or light drying methods that damage nutrients. Our cold vacuum technology maintains 99% of the fresh fruits and vegetables' original nutritional value. Along with diet and exercise, Mother Nature provides fruits and vegetables to help us maintain good health.
To order, go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751, and use discount code THEANSWER.
If you want a great destination restaurant, may I suggest Michael's of Brooklyn on Avenue R in Nostrand in the great borough of Brooklyn, New York? Fred is there. Johnny is there. Enzo, Michael, Marianne, the beautiful family that makes up Michael's of Brooklyn, one of the 5 best Italian restaurants in America, according to the Food Network. And yes, they make the sauce right there, the famous sauce that you see on the supermarket shelves, that you get from michaelsofbrooklyn.com right there. In Brooklyn, they make this great sauce, the puttanesca, the marinara, the fresh tomato and basil. I tell you, Michael's in Brooklyn is among the best sauce that you can get. And, you know, you say, oh, I don't want to get a sauce in a jar. Try Michael's of Brooklyn. It's the best of Brooklyn in a jar at Michael's of Brooklyn. You're going to love it. And if you get a chance to get out to this Brooklyn, which we all love, everything in Brooklyn, one of the great boroughs throughout all of the United States, if you go to Avenue R in Nostrand, you go to Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the most authentic tastes of Italy for over 50 years.
Portions of this show sponsored by Route 22 Toyota.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. You're listening to the Joe Piscopo Show with Frankie Five Burrows, Marano, and Al Gattulo, and Debbie Duhame. I'm away in Los Angeles on my way back for tomorrow's show. I want to thank Alan, Frank, and Debbie for holding down the fort. Coming right back at you. Thanks for listening to Piscopo in the Morning.
Come on.
Come on. Let me show you where it's at. Come on.
Couple of minutes before 8 o'clock. Well, I woke up with frost on my window this morning, wondering if that's a harbinger of things to come. If you want to know whether or not you need to break out the snow shovel, Joe Lundberg has the answer. Joe, what are we in store for today?
You're not going to need the snow shovel today or tonight, but you will tomorrow because we've got a storm on the way, and it's going to be a good 24 hours of precipitation. Starts as snow, ends as rain, and we get a whole mess of everything in between tomorrow, which means sleet, freezing rain in some communities, and then it ends, like I said, as some rain and drizzle tomorrow night around the area. But enough that you're going to need those snow shovels, 1 to 3 inches, I think, in the city and along the coast, but probably 3 to 6 inches when you get into the far northern and northwest suburbs from the storm system tomorrow.
And Joe, real quick, it's going to change to rain later in the afternoon for most areas, but not north and west of the city, correct?
Not north and west. It'll be more sleet and freezing rain there, and then at night it will eventually go to plain rain, but only for a few hours before it ends late at night.
Gotcha. All right, well, thanks, Joe. We'll talk to you next hour.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe. All right. Coming up next hour, we're going to check in with John Gambling, a man who spent about 12 years on the radio with Mike Bloomberg. We'll ask him about Mike Bloomberg's prospective presidential candidacy. And another legendary New York broadcaster is in trouble. I'll tell you who was on this show last week and then just arrested Thursday night. The answer may surprise you. We'll take your calls on Amazon, marijuana, congestion pricing, 2020, whatever you want to talk about. 877-970-2999. Here's Agatulo with the news.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.